This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, today we want to cover a few things that are very, very important. A disease, a poison that has hit our ummah, which is the disease of takfir. Calling someone kafir, this guy is a disbeliever, when in reality the correct conditions haven't been met. Or when we see, for example, a person now drinking alcohol for 45 years, or he is involved in riba for maybe 50 years. We come in and saying, this guy, he only drinks alcohol and he deals with interest, believing that this is halal. Otherwise he wouldn't do it. So he will say he's a kafir. The issue about istihlal, making something that is haram, halal, and the other way around. If I'm now doing a major sin, does that necessitate that I believe that this is halal, which is an act of kufr? To make something that is haram, halal, or halal, haram, then without a doubt, this is something that is very well known to take a person out of the fold of Islam. But this is what we want to talk about, inshallah ta'ala, today. When we come onto the section, وَأَلَّا نَقُولَ كَمَا قَالَتِ الْخَوَارِجُ inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to read when we stopped and take it on from there, inshallah. وَسَمِعْتُ سُفْيَانَ I heard Sufyan, يعني Imam al-Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala, he's saying this. I heard Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan ibn Uyayna is his teacher. If you look in the first hadith of إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِنِيَاتٍ al-Bukhari, the first person that Imam al-Bukhari took from was who? Imam al-Humaydi, the sheikh that we're studying right now. He took the hadith from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, which is his teacher, from the ulama of al-Madinah. Him and Imam al-Shafi'i were aqran, they were peers. They were peers, they were people that were contemporaries. And Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about Imam al-Shafi'i and Sufyan ibn Uyayna, لَوْلَاهُمَا لَذَهَبَ الْعِلْمُ عَنِ الْحِجَازِ. Was it not for Sufyan that we're talking about now? And Imam al-Shafi'i said, if it wasn't for Sufyan ibn Uyayna and also Imam Malik, the knowledge would have left and it would have vanished from al-Madina. Obviously, بعد الله عز وجل. Now, so Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Imam Malik, they were running Saudi Arabia with their knowledge. Now, their knowledge was there. There were people who were established there, giving da'wah. He said, وَسَمِعْتُ سُفْيَانًا يَقُولُ I heard Sufyan say, الْإِيمَانُ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ And we took this before, that the iman consists of three parts. قَوْلٌ, affirmation of the tongue. Someone, he can't become a Muslim, a believer, until he said La ilaha illallah with his tongue. قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجَوَارِحِ To do actions with your limbs. And at the same time, الْاِعْتِقَادِ Having that belief in your heart. If any of the three that we just mentioned goes missing, this person, he hasn't established an iman. And that's not the definition of an iman. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said there's an ijma' that even Ibn Taymiyyah and other than him, they transmitted in their books that the iman is of three types, these three that we just mentioned, and if one goes missing, then none of the iman is not there in reality. So there are three pillars of the definition of an iman. يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ We also took that the iman increases and decreases. And this goes against the aqeedah of the khawarij. We believe that if a person now commits a major sin, if he commits a major sin, he does zina for example, that this person's iman has gone down. His iman has gone down. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزْنِي الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُ مُؤْمِنِ When a zani, a fornicator, is performing zina, he's not a believer. Does that mean his whole iman is gone? That he's a kafir now? Of course not. Because we don't make takfir of people due to major sins. But we say that his iman has gone down. Na'am, we believe that the iman goes up and down. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi. Whoever sees an evil, then change with his hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. If he can't change it with his tongue, then let him change with his heart. The whole point is, the Prophet ﷺ said, that is the weakest part of al-Iman. The weakest part. That shows you that the Iman goes up and down all the time. Even the guy, the one that's stealing, or he's running around on the streets, the drug dealer will say to you, أخي والله my Iman's down. Now, عقلياً, from an intellectual point of view, you find that even the guy that's on the street that knows he's doing things bad, goes, أخي, make dua for me, my Iman, go, you know, my Iman is down at the moment. Even sometimes we feel like that. When we're doing so much ibadah, our Iman's sky high. But when we're all ta'bad, you know, and يعني the shaitan has pushed us into doing things, been whispering in our ears, we're not doing the qiyam al-layl that we used to do, so we feel like the iman is decreasing. Now we've got the hadith, the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجَلَتْ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When the ayat are read to them, the iman increases. So just a quick point, brothers, if we want our iman to increase, we want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing that we can hasten to doing is what? Reciting the Quran. It's a means of us coming out of the problems that we have and getting an increase in our iman. Whatever the sin that we might be doing might be, go back to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٌ. Nobody can tell you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, time and time again, ikhwani, you tend to find that we tend to go back to other people when it comes to looking for happiness or problems to be solved in our lives. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٌ. Nobody can tell you like Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. How many times do you find a guy saying, Wallahi, I'm suffering, going through depression, I've got this problem, and then he goes, where to the NHS? They have a banner there, why are you depressed? Or how to get your depression sorted out? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many, many asbab. Many asbab. And nobody can tell you like him. You don't need to pay for the admonition or the cure that you're going to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. There's an ayah that says in the Quran, and if only we stuck to it, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكِرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوْ مُؤْمِنٍ. Whoever does good deeds. From the men and the women. And he's a believer. First condition, he does good deeds. And he's a believer. نعم. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. And this person will give him a good life. You want a good life? Go do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do. All the depression, the problems that we're having, you find that it gets taken out by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَخُوهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ إِبْنْ عُيَيْنَا. His brother said to him, Ibrahim ibn Uyayna, يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدْ لَا تَقُلْ يَنْقُصْ. Oh brother, oh Abu Muhammad, do not say that the iman decreases. فَغَضِبَ, he became angry. وَقَالَ أُسْكُتْ يَا سَبِي. He told his brother, keep quiet you baby, or you little kid. بَلْ حَتَّى لَا يَبْقَى مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. Until nothing remains. Rather, until nothing remains, the iman goes down. The Khawarij, that I wanted to mention, but I remember now, the Khawarij, they say, نعم, the iman يزيد وينقص. They'll say that to you. But when it decreases, it goes away altogether. Let me give you an analogy, Juan. You know the pizza? Let's just say that the iman is the pizza. If a person now does something that is deficient, or he commits a sin, what happens? The iman goes out, sah? What happens now when you take one slice out? We say that the piece is incomplete. But the piece is still there, sah? The piece is still there. Same is the iman. You do a major sin, you take out a wajib that is upon you to do, it becomes deficient. Them not, the Khawarij, they say, if a person now does a major sin, kafir. If now one piece of the pizza goes missing, that's not called a pizza. In simple terms like that. That's the aqeedah of the Khawarij. That waged war against Ali radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And then Imam al-Humaydi says, وَالْإِقْرَارُ بِالرُّؤْيَةِ بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ. And to affirm that one is going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he dies. We have to understand this masail pertaining this, but inshaAllah ta'ala in summarization. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in real life here in the dunya. That's something that has been negated. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَرَوْا رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا. You will not see your Lord until you die. If Musa alayhi salatu wasalam couldn't see Allah azza wa jal, then this hadith is a clear example for us that one cannot see na'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm talking about in al-yaqadah, when one is awake. As for one seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dream, then this is something that I've seen from the ulama, Shaykh Muqbil, Shaykh Uthaymeen, Shaykh bin Baz. They all gave the fatwa. Even Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that there's a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show himself to you in the dream, but in real life that has been negated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. The faces will be glowing on that day, and they will be looking towards their Lord. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, ikhwani, the people will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ard al-mahshar. When everybody's there, waiting, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believers will. As for the kuffar and the munafiqeen, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Nay, that the disbelievers, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be a veil that is put between them. They're not going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when? Ardu al-Mahshar. And then in al-Jannah. There's a hadith, ikhwani, that says, the people of Jannah will say, do you want anything else? It will be said to them. They will say, أَلَمْ تُبْيَضُ وُجُوهَنَا وَتُدْخِلَنَا الْجَنَّةِ. Haven't you made our faces glow and white and entered us into al-Jannah? After they say this, it will be said to them, and the closest meaning to this, they will be shown, or the hijab that is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken off. And then they haven't been shown anything better than the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us from those that see Allah azza wa jal. Because the people of the fire, the kuffar, a veil will be put between them. And the people of Jannah, they will see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they haven't seen anything more sweeter and greater than the face of Allah azza wa jal. وَمَا نَطَقَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ وَالْحَدِيثُ مِثْلُ. And we affirm also that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He mentioned, spoke about in the Quran. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. The Yahud, they said that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stingy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They are the stingy ones. Their hands have now become tight. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفِ يَشَاءُ. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two outstretched hands that are generous. So how do we go about, you know, when it comes to, I touched on it last week, when it comes to 2 weeks ago, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you He has a hand, or He has two hands, and He has a face, na'am, and He has a shin, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, all of this we accept. We accept without doing takif. We don't go into how is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَعْطِي. And we do not negate it. وَلَا تَمْثِيل. And we don't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristics are like my characteristic, or like the characteristic of something else. We don't go into that. Rather, Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing unto like Allah Azza wa Jal. Nothing is like Him. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has a sifa, you believe it and you take it like that. Literally. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the heavens will be folded in the hand of Allah azza wa jal. we accept it. We don't say like these, a lot of these Orientalists and these Ashab al-Aql, who use their intellect before the Quran and the Sunnah. Akhi, how is this possible? This doesn't accept my mind. Akhi, you are a slave that has been told to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Then after that, look for the hikmah. And I don't know if I mentioned this example before. You know, brothers and sisters, how we have stones in al-Hajj. In Hajj, we are throwing stones at what? The Jamarat. We throw it against the Jamarat. And then in one case, what do? We kiss another stone. Look what Umar ibn al-Khattab said. لولا أني إني sorry he said إني أعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع. I know you're a stone that doesn't benefit nor harm. لولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبلك ما قبلتك. Had I not seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kiss you, I would have kissed you. What does that show you? That one time we're kissing it and one time we're throwing against it. اتباع. You worship because you are a servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do so. And simple as that. Hikmah comes after. Why do we stone this? Why do we do this? Ask the question ba'day. Or look for the wisdom after. And this is the way the believers, that when the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يقول سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله وليحكم بينهم يقول سمعنا وأطعنا. That's the way the believer. We listen and we obey. وما أشبه هذا من القرآن والحديث. And now which is similar to it. In the Quran, like as in the Hadith, لا نزيد فيه. We don't add anything on. ولا نفسره. And we don't go into explaining. يعني how the صفات of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are. ونقف على ما وقف عليه القرآن والسنة. ونقول الرحمن على العرش استوى. And we basically stop where the Quran and the Sunnah stopped. We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above his throne in a manner that suits his majesty. وَمَنْ زَعْمَ غَيْرَ هَذَا فَوْ مُعَطِّرٌ جَهْمِي. And whoever claims other than this person, the mu'attir is a jahmi. Brothers, you know the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, they did not ask these questions. Even Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who is considered to be the fifth Khalifa, he said, خِفْ حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمِ وَهُمْ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَقَفُوا. Stop where the people before you have stopped. They stop with knowledge. They base their stopping where they stop upon knowledge. Keep it like that, accept it, and tell Allah. When it comes to these sifat, these ayat of sifat. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This ayah shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has risen and He is in al-ulu. Many, many ayats. How do we put together now? And this matter is important because you go to the kids, sometimes you go to madrasa, and I've seen it with my own eyes, they come out thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. That necessitates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside me, He's inside you, He's in the toilet, He's also in the sewage. That's what it means. If we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere, that means He's in every single place. And this is what some of the kids, they come out believing and saying. So how do we say now the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Can anyone put the two together? Allah saying in one place, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Another place He's saying He rose above His throne. That ayah can be seen as now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. And it proves their point. And this is what they use. Now, the whole ayah, ikhwani, is talking about ilm. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do you not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is in the heavens and earth? مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. Never are three people speaking in secret except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fourth one. Yeah, He knows what's going on. Or five people speaking, He is the sixth one. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ وَمَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. He's with them wherever they are. With His knowledge. He knows that which is going on in the secrets that are taking place and everything that takes place in this universe. Even though, ikhwani, there's a big dispute now in the world, whereas Allah, you find this topic all the time being spoken about. And we mentioned this time and time again before. What is the meter now? How can we now differentiate between our ara, our opinions and our positions? Tafsir al-Salaf. How did the Sahaba understand these matters? How did the Sahaba take this particular matter? Who do we have? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And this is a backbreaker when it comes to this matter. Because once you have a Sahabi, khalas, intah al-amr. He mentioned, as it was narrated by Imam al-Bayhaq in his Kitab al-Sifat, وَاللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens, and at the same time, He knows what you got or upon. Put the two together. Brothers, make sure you write down this athar. Very, very important, because it's like a miza. A differentiation now between the two matters, and it takes throughout this confusion. Why? Because you have the statement of a Sahabi Jaleel. Also, Zainab bin Jahsh, she said, Zawwaja kunna ahli kunna. She was boasting to the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives. She said, your family is what you are married off. وَزَوَّجَنِي اللَّهُ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتٍ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got me married off from above the seven heavens. And there's many, many, many proofs, ikhwani, to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His throne. And it's a dangerous creed. Our kids coming up thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. It's aqeedah, yani, that is totally facile. Which makes a person think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here, everywhere and everything. That means He's inside you, He's inside. No? طيب. And this is what I want to maybe touch on a bit more today, inshaAllah ta'ala. وَأَلَّا نَقُولَ كَمَا قَالَتِ الْخَوَارِجُ. And we do not say what the khawarij, they are, if I define for you, ikhwani, what a khawarij or kharij is. Anyone that has exited against whether the person was a sahabi or a ruler. Any legislated person that has authority upon the people, amir, you've gone out against him, this person is, yani, he comes under the khawarij. That's where the word, it comes from the word khuruj, kharaja, someone coming out. The khawarij that went against Uthman, na'am, they went against him. They exited against Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So they were called the khawarij, people that came out. And likewise, those that came out against Ali radiallahu anhu, they were called the khawarij, they exited against the Muslim ruler. We do not say like the khawarij say, the imam he says here, مَنْ أَصَابَ كَبِيرَةً فَقَدْ كَفَرْ وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّنُوبِ. That whoever falls in a major sin, we say he's kafir. We don't say this. And we do not make takfir on anyone due to what he has fallen into from his dunub, sins. And ikhwani, this is very, very important. Very, very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ قَالَ فِي أَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَمَنْ قَالَ فِي أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ كَافِرِ إِلَّا إِذَا إِمَّا كَمَا قَالْ وَإِلَّا رَجَعْتْ عَلَيْهِ. If this person now says about his believing brother, he's a kafir, and he doesn't deserve this, either it comes back against him, or يعني he has spoken the truth in regards to that matter, or in regards to that person. Now, it can end up hitting us back, na'am, by us, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing us with falling into kufr, if it's not now, or maybe in the future. Or the hadith is seen as what? Someone that knows that your blood is haram. Now I believe that my brother here, his blood is haram upon me. I can't do nothing to him. It's haram. I can't touch him. But he knows that it is haram, but at the same time he makes it halal. And that's istihlal. To make something that is haram halal. And we're going to comment on it inshaAllah ta'ala. And there's conditions and preventative factors. And inshaAllah ta'ala I'll mention it in summarization. There is five preventative factors. If we understand that, we understand the conditions. That when now a person falls into kufr, you cannot make takfir, you cannot say that guy is a kafir straight away. The first one, al-khata. You know, brothers, I've personally said in my lectures many times before, not many times, a few times maybe, that maybe the Sahaba are kuffar. I personally said that in a lesson. I'm speaking about the Sahaba, I said the Sahaba are kuffar. I'm speaking about who? I'm speaking about Abu Jahl, or yumkin fulan and fulan. But a slip of the tongue makes me end up saying what? That the Sahaba are the kuffar. I even said that about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one time. And let me give you a hadith. A man, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Sahih Muslim, na'am, he had a riding camel. All his stuff were on there. All his stuff were on there. And he's in the middle of the desert. He runs away from him. He goes and sleeps now under what? The tree. Khalas, he's lost hope. Qad ayisa, as it came in the hadith. Qad ayisa. He wakes up, he finds the donkey or the riding camel or the riding animal in front of him. He jumps out of happiness. Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Oh Allah, you are my slave and I'm your Lord. Is there an insult that is more worse than this? There isn't. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say he's a kafir? He never said this. He said, akhta'a min shiddati farah. He fell into mistake due to severe happiness. Slip of the tongue. Sometimes, if I say, look, we know that I teach the fada'il al-sahaba and etc. If I come along tomorrow and I accidentally say that the sahaba are kuffar, for you to say I'm a kafir is totally wrong. You have to find akhi, do you know what you just said? Athni, do you know what you just said? And then I think, oh, what did I just say? Na'am. And I realize my mistake, I take it back. So the first one is what? Al-khata. The second one is nisyan. Forgetfulness. Doing something, an act of kufr, out of forgetting something. Tayyib. We have a brother now who was called Jacob and now became Yaqub. He entered into Islam. You tell Yaqub, zina is haram. Zina is haram. 2 weeks later, you find him in the masjid telling the people, he grabs the mic, Ikhwani, zina is halal. Or he's telling his family members, zina is halal. Na'am, it's okay to do zina. And we mentioned before what? To make something that is haram, halal, or halal, haram is what? Kufrun, without any doubt. So now, Yaqub is telling his family that zina is halal, is falling into kufr. Is it correct for me now to go to Yaqub straight away? You're a kafir. I call Yaqub, ta'ala ya Yaqub. Didn't I say to you that zina is haram and this? And, oh, na'am, I forgot. But due to my forgetfulness, I told the people now that zina is halal. And then he goes, Yaqub, I'm sorry, I'm going to make astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, and he takes it back. He takes it back. That is what? Forgetfulness. And you cannot make takfir and say this person is a kafir until you do iqamatul hujjah. You have to establish the proof to him. You have to make it clear to him. Remove the doubts that he has. That's how many? Two, sah. The third one, al-ikrah. Being forced into doing an act of kufr. If someone now holds a gun to my head and I know he's going to pull the trigger if I don't do it, and he says to me, or he orders me to leave the religion of Islam, or to swear at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, to insult them, to mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhwani is kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتُهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. Some people at the Battle of Tabuk, they started mocking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sorry, they started mocking the Sahaba. Ayah came down. If you ask them, they will say, we are only joking and playing. Allah said, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَدِلُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Say to them, you mock Allah, His Messenger, His Ayat. No excuses, they have now become kuffar. Mocking, say for example that the Quran is like a Harry Potter book, as a joke, I've heard people say in my own ears. As a joke, they say, the Quran is a Harry Potter book. This guy is a kafir. You don't need Iqamat al-Hujjah. You don't need to quote this guy. Because it came clearly in the Quran, these people, they were only joking and playing. It's one of the only things that doesn't need you to call the guy and ask him, why are you doing this? Because he knows it's wrong and he's only doing it out of joke. The fact that he done it as a joke, knows that he knows, shows that he knows what he's doing is incorrect. Are you with me? That's for that action. As for other actions, you have to call the guy, you have to tell him, you have to remove the doubts, etc. طيب. If someone now says to me, and puts a gun to my head and he says to me, mock Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the messenger. We just mentioned now it's an act of kufr, zah. It's kufr. If I do that now, and I curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, you cannot make takfir of me. Because of ikrah, someone being forced to do something. It is allowed for one to fall into kufr out of forcefulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except for the one that has been forced. But at the same time, he has iman in his heart. He doesn't intend it with his heart. As long as that happens, that's the preventative factor. Ikrah. The fourth one, jahl. The fourth one is jahl. I'll give you a similar example as the second one. Jacob, aka Ya'qub, has come into the religion and he started now praying to the grave. He doesn't know. He's new to Al-Islam. You cannot make takfir of this guy straight away. Jahan. What's the proof of this? The Sahaba who were walking to the battle of Hunayn. They went past a tree called That and What. The Mushriks, they used to hang their